This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're back for another week of fun and frolic here.
Fun and frolic. Oh, good. This is great, yeah.
How you doing, Mike?
I'm doing good. It's kind of warm now. It feels good. You know, this morning about 6 o'clock, it didn't feel too
just a little nippy, was it?
A little nippy, yeah.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Downright stinking cold.
Yeah. Yeah, well, winter is in the air.
Yes, it is. It is.
And that means bad for plants.
No. No, of course not. They need their rest.
That's right. They have to hibernate.
You know, they just go down there and cuddle down and say, well, March will be here before you know it, son.
So let's just cuddle up.
Let's cuddle up and take us a long winter's nap.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. If you have a question about any of your gardening needs, whether it's lawns or shrubs, trees, how to plant, how to fertilize, how to water, when to water, how much to water, you know, with all that stuff, or what kind of compost should I put in my garden, or, you know, anything you want to ask, I'll give you an answer. And more than likely, it'll be correct, because I've already made the mistake way back when, and I corrected me. So there
you go.
But anyway, if you want to call, 673-4464 is the number. And regardless of what I'm speaking of, you can interrupt my train of thought, and because I got 5 pages of notes, it doesn't matter, and I can get back on track very quickly.
Speaking now, of which, we do have a phone call.
See, that's what I like.
Why
even
button,
say anything?
This one, and I think we're ready to roll. Hi there, you're on the air with Mike Winters.
Mike, how you doing today?
Good.
Good. So, two questions for you. First, your show last week, you talked about orchids. They grew in trees. Are those bromeliads, or are they a different variety of plants altogether?
Okay, now I guess you kind of garbled it. Maybe not you, but the radio garbled what the question was. Say it one more time for me, please.
So last week you spoke about orchids.
And oh, orchids. Okay, yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Where I grew up as a kid, there was a man that had bromeliads, which grew on trees. Are they a variety of orchids, or are they a completely different subspecies?
Well, I would say they are a variety. You know, what type of variety I don't know, because I'm not an orchid expert by any stretch of the imagination. But I found it interesting that orchids will grow on trees.
Second question for you that you're probably going to know the answer for. Are there native orchids to Oregon, and if there are, how do you get those seeds, bulbs, growings? How do you get them?
Well, you know, in all my research that I was doing on orchids, I did not come across a variety that was native to Oregon. And I have a book. It's like an encyclopedia of orchids. Now, there may be some wild orchids out there, and maybe the place to call would be the master gardeners, and they might just have a handle on that. But in my research, I haven't come across anything that said, hey, these are wild orchids that grow in Oregon, and you can find them on the coast, or you can find them, you know, along the riverbanks or something like that.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, sir.
Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
Alrighty, that clears up the line for you.
Okay, well, you know, that was a good question. You know, a native Oregon orchid. I'm going to have to look that up and see see if there is such an animal.
Seems like there would be.
Yeah, I don't know why not, because they grow wild in so many different diverse climates in the tropics all the way up into Alaska, for crying out loud. So why wouldn't there be a native orchid here.
Yeah. So that's hard to say. Oregon orchid.
I'll get my wife to look it up on the computer for me.
There you go. Let her do your scavenging.
Yeah, do the work for me, will you? Oh, gosh. Okay, any more questions? It's 673-4464. No, I have a bone to pick with Mr. Kyle.
Uh-oh.
You and he were on the radio this morning, and he said something to the tune of, yeah, well, listen this afternoon to the Commissioner of Dirt.
Yep.
And then you said something, and then he says, yeah, well, He's as old as what he talks about along those lines.
Yep.
And
yep.
So I'm going to sue him and the radio station and clean him out for disparaging me and hurting my feelings on the radio.
Hurt your heart.
I almost drove off the road and cried. I thought, okay, Kyle, I'll get you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought, okay. All right.
I told him you were probably listening.
So. I do. I got you early and I got you late, man. Oh, gosh. Well, you know, very quickly we went to, the mid-20 degrees for our morning low temps here about, 3 days ago, four days ago?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's been a consistent 23 degrees every morning when I'm on my front porch looking at my temperature thing. And it's in a protective area. It's you know, the porch roof goes out. 8 feet, 10 feet, something like that, and the temperature gauge is on a post inside and under cover, so it doesn't get rained on or anything like that, and there's no wind or anything. Now look at that puppy; it's 23 degrees.
Whoa.
Give me a break! And it doesn't say anything to me. It just sits there at 23. You know, okay.
Too cold for me.
Yeah, too cold for him to move. And but I have a feeling that the low temps, I don't know why, I just have this feeling that they're going to be happening frequently this winter.
Oh.
And should we ever get any what they call rain that comes this way, I think it'll be in the form of snow, nice white flakes and all that.
Yeah.
So, but it's been an interesting winter so far.
So you heard it here first, another snowmageddon.
Yeah, and why I didn't say snowmageddon, but I'm looking to see some snow.
Yeah.
You know, the first year we moved into our house out in the canyon, it was like, we moved in the end of October, and it was about a week before Thanksgiving. The Sunday before Thanksgiving, some neighbors walked up there and visited with us because we were just getting settled.
Yeah.
And, you know, we visited for an hour or so, and it was dark. And they just lived, you know, down on the next ranch. Mm-hmm. And so they walked up, and we walked outside, and there was these little tiny snowflakes coming down. Almost like BBs, you know, almost like hail, but not.
Not quite.
And I thought, well, that's interesting, because when, you know, they got there, nothing was happening. And so they walked away, and we went back inside, went to bed, got up the next morning. There was 3 feet of snow in my front yard.
That was around Thanksgiving?
That was the week before Thanksgiving. Yeah, it was like the Sunday before Thanksgiving.
That was in the 80s, wasn't it?
No, that was 1977.
77?
Yes.
Well, I'm way off.
Yeah, you are. You're just a young kid.
Yeah, I wish.
So anyway, it seemed to me that this weather pattern that we're in right now is somewhat comparable to what it was way back then, if I remember correctly, because we weren't having any rain. It was kind of a dry fall, mm-hmm. because it was an easy move in, and I'd put in a new lawn out front. I got about, say, a quarter of an acre or so right out front of the house that I mow. It's not quote a lawn, it's grass. And then when it snowed, you know, and it was good, at least 2.5 feet minimum. But it was this fine powdery stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, all that work I did, you know, the seed, the fertilizer, and blah, blah, blah.
Right down the tubes.
Yeah, right down the tubes. Well, and then it started raining a couple of days later, and it poured and it poured. And, the creeks were up and roaring and all that. And I thought all my seed had washed away. So I thought I'll just have to do it in the spring. Mm-hmm. But by about a week before Christmas, I had a green lawn. It had the seed had stayed there and germinated in spite of the snow and the rain and all that. It was amazing.
So the snow made a good insulation?
I guess. I thought for sure it was gone.
Gone, yeah. I would have thought that,
because it took me about 200 pounds of seed to, you know, get the area, to seed the area. And, all that work.
This is not good.
Yeah. Welcome to your new home, Mike. But anyway, watching the weather patterns, and I watch them very closely because primarily I'm an agricultural guy. I grow mm-hmm. things, and I plant things in people's yards and stuff. So, you know, weather is important. Is it, you know, too hot, too dry, too wet, too cold? Those kinds of things. And how much do we have? Because I have to irrigate my nursery, and this year has been a real struggle, simply because of our normal precipitation rate has been way below normal, and this is like the fourth or fifth year in a row that's been the case.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting. But anyhow, I think that these this year, at least, the low temps are going to happen more frequently than they have in the past. So you can shoot the global warming thing right out the window. And for everybody that I just upset, please don't call.
Our president would also agree with you.
I think so. But there are there's some things to be aware of. And number one is turn off your sprinkler systems.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, there's sprinkler systems out there that are still going, and we're in the process with all our maintenance contracts that we're turning them off and flushing them out and draining them out and that kind of thing. And hopefully it's not prematurely, because if it doesn't rain for another month, you know, there's going to be a lack of moisture in the ground. We'll have to turn them back on. I don't know.
Freeze them up again.
Yeah, but to be on the safe side, turn off your sprinkler systems. Yeah. And if you got a way of draining the system, drain it so that you don't have any major damage come next spring when you go to turn them on. And it'll prevent broken pipes and broken sprinkler heads and things like that. When I first moved into my house, I had an exposed pipe that came from my spring. I thought I'll bury it later. Well, later went by, and then later went by, and I kind of forgot about it. It was laying on the surface, right on the surface, a 2-inch water pipe. And we had one of these nice cold snaps, and and that pipe broke.
Ouch.
And that was my main source of water to the house. So I had to run up to the spring, turn off the valve up there, come down, and it's ice stinking cold, and repair that whole thing, and let it set and do the. I mean, it was miserable, but I learned very quickly.
Do
it when you're supposed to do it, and do it right the first time. You know, geez, Louise.
No second time.
No, it's really a pain in the neck when you get a broken sprinkler system. And you know, sometimes if maybe you forgot to turn it off and it's broken, so it's pumping water under your ground and even know it all winter long, you know, it gets pretty spendy after a while, and it really messes up a yard. So check it out, do diligence on your yard, and you'll be okay. The other item to be concerned with in our cold times, mm-hmm. are any potted plants that are out on your deck or your patio. You can water them and put them under cover or next to the house, or give them some kind of protection, or, you know, even put them in the garage. But by watering them, the roots will be insulated against the extra cold. It actually forms an igloo effect around the root systems. And, you know, Eskimos in Alaska live in igloos, and they do all right. So same thing happens with plants. If it's good and wet, the cold won't penetrate the root system. If it's bone dry, the cold will go right through the root system and kill the plant if it's cold enough.
Would kill me too.
Yeah, so just soak yourself down when you see it coming and lay out in the street. Yeah, right. But, you know, that's important. So if it's going to be, you know, back down in the 23, 25 range, and maybe some of your plants are already dead. I've got, you know, it was kind of interesting at the main entry at the nursery. I've got this huge, huge hydrangea. It's beautiful every year. And 4 days ago, it was looking good and green and everything else. Then the first night of the 23-degree thing came, and it looked like a little poorly the next day. And I thought, well, we won't get 2 days in a row of that wrong. And so by day two, the leaves had turned brown and basically were non-existent. They had just totally died. But so we pruned it down. It's okay. We prune it down every year or so. But it was amazing how quickly that transpired.
Yeah, so if you 2 days.
Yeah, so if you have plants like that or looking, the leaves are burnt from the cold, prune the plant down. Prune it down and get rid of the junk, and it'll come back next spring. Don't be afraid to whack it back, because if you don't whack it back, it's going to be weak, and those branch tips that were nearest the leaves, they're probably dead too, so they're not going to regenerate themselves. So you got to cut it down to where the good wood is, and when you hit that, you're in much better shape.
So when in doubt, whack it back.
Hey, that's good. That's good.
We got to take a break.
All right.
All righty. We'll be right back with more Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show in a couple of minutes.
And the weather forecast.
Right here on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
And then splash.
Oh, the short garden.
We're back with more Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN. And, of course, your phone calls are welcome as well here.
And if you want to call, 673-4464, and we can talk about whatever gardening challenge you may have at your home or business, and we can do that stuff. So I've been talking about the cold and the effect of plants on cold, and I don't even know if I said this in the last segment, but we had a great big hydrangea. We have several of them planted around our nursery office there. And 2 days ago, it was good and green. 3 days ago, it was good and green. The leaves were green, and in fact, it looked really healthy. And then we got the 23 degrees. And the leaves that day didn't look so hot, and we got 23 degrees again the next day, and the leaves then were dead. I mean, they were black, and they were hanging down.
Gone.
But that's okay. We pruned that puppy right down, and it'll come back gangbusters next year, because we always prune it, you know, severely every year, and it comes back and grows to a giant, giant hydrangea, and it blooms. Oh, gosh, it blooms and blooms and blooms. It's a beautiful thing. People say, how do you get it to bloom that way? I said, I just cut it back every year and fertilize it. And you know, guess what? They do a good thing. But I was talking about watering. If you got potted plants outside, you know, there's one client we just finished a job for, lives out on Happy Valley Road. And she bought some evergreens for some outdoor pots, and she planted them. And they were kind of in dry bark that she planted, which is not bad. And I said, well, you need to really water them, really get them soaky here if we're going to have this really cold weather. And they will survive because, like I said earlier, the water acts as an insulator and keeps the root systems alive. If if a plant is in very dry, bone dry soil and you have the cold, the cold goes all the way through the root system and then kills the plant. So that's the theory behind it, and it's a true theory. It works. Yep. And I remember 1 year I had this great big lemon tree, and it was in a big redwood box, but it was too heavy for one person to move. Actually, it took 3 guys to pick it up. Wow. And put it in the greenhouse. Well, the temperature dropped, you know, very quickly down to 25. Mm. And it was like my mama lemon tree that we took cuttings off of. Mm-hmm. Well, mama died.
Oh, no, mama tree.
Oh, no, the mama tree bit the dust, I'll tell you what. Just one night out there.
Quick.
Jeez. Bingo right now. Because they're, you know, they're tropics.
Yeah.
And it did all summer. I don't know, understand why. Just because we'll get a little cold. Jeez Louise.
Oh, my gosh.
So I had to start all over again. But
had to find another mama tree.
Yeah, I did, you know. Oh, and the other thing about the cold, if you have, you know, outside water pipes, like hose bibs or something like that, you know, faucets, wrap them up with a towel or some heat tape or something like that. Even a dry dish towel wrapped around will be sufficient insulation to keep it from breaking and busting and doing whatever. That's basically what I do with my pipes out where I live. And, you know, about March, you take them off and everything's pretty good to go. But, you know, a normal, like a 30 degrees or 32 degrees is not going to do that much damage. But when you drop down in the 20s, that's when the damage really occurs. So, and heat tape is pretty cheap. It's a lot cheaper than having a plumber or a landscaper repair your broken sprinkler systems or, you know, outdoor faucets, that kind of thing. And they're just a real pain to fix. And like I said, I speak from experience there. Because I thought, I'd be all right. Nah, no problem. It's okay. Yeah, right. Oh, shoot. Okay, as the leaves now begin to fall, you have, you know, 2 or 3 choices with these leaves. You know, first, get them off your lawn. that's very important. because if you leave them on your lawn, it'll just kind of not totally kill the grass, but the grass doesn't like it because there's no air circulation, there's no sunlight, you know, what little we have in the winter. There's no sunlight, there's no air
nutrition
blowing across. Yeah. So those, especially like oak leaves or maple leaves,
yeah,
they're big leaves.
Those big
and they lay, you know, they'll lay flat. I see some yards, we used to have a lawn, it's nothing but leaves now. And I'm thinking, you know, they ought to get those off and not let them rot because it'll damage the lawn.
Sure.
Then you'll have to, you know, put all kinds of time and money and effort into the lawn about March, mid-March, 1st of April, to get it back to where it once was.
It was,
so
yeah.
Get them puppies off.
So get your lazy rear end out there and rake them up.
I didn't say that. He said that. Oh, golly. But, you know, and leaves are good. I mean, you've got several opportunities to do things here. You can make your own compost pile, which in the long run is going to be beneficial to your yard and garden, because as the leaves decompose, they're going to turn into good organic soil, and that's food for the plants, right? And just like I say, put them in a pile in the back corner of the yard. You don't have to cover them. If you want to cover them, they'll cook a little bit better and decompose a little bit faster. Or, you know, the city of Roseburg has this great thing where you stick your leaves out in the street and they come along and pick them up for you. I don't know if they'll do it this year, but they've done it in past years.
Yeah.
And as long as you have them by, you know, neatly in a pile by the curb, they just suck them up with their big hose and take them away.
Away they go.
And then you know what they do with them? They take them out to the landfill.
Yep.
Out here, and they put them in a big pile and they turn them into compost over the years. And then when homeowners want to buy compost, they pull up there and I don't know what it costs, but it used to be $5 a pickup, you know, a small pickup load.
Right.
Well, maybe it's $15 or $20, but see, they're getting some kickback.
Sure.
They're getting some feedback because they're using that material and people need it. So you can do your own, and it won't cost you as much.
The true method of recycling.
Yeah, that is total recycle. So, or the last thing, you can have a leaf burning party on Halloween night. You know, just go for it and put it out in the front yard, and all the kids are dressed up and eating candy bars and running around, whooping and hollering, having
a
great
old
time.
Yeah.
Right. But just get the leaves off the lawn. Now, if you've got bark mulch beds and there's plants in them, just knock the leaves off your plants, and they can decompose in your bark. And there's no, I mean, there's a plus side to that because they will just decompose and they'll look a little unneat for a while. But by the end of March or so, you very little of that material is left. They've broken down and they're just part of the mulch then. You know,
can't tell the difference.
No, not really. Well, you can if you look closely, but they're pretty much history at that time. And then small leaves off of, you know, apple leaf or from a pear tree or something. Those are small, or even smaller leaves. They decompose a whole lot quicker. It's just the big maple leaves and the oak leaves that are bigger, tougher, thicker through. They take a little bit longer. But if you put them in a pile, they'll start cooking. Don't worry about it. They'll break down.
They'll get out of there.
Yeah, right. So. Don't leave them on there till spring. You'll be okay. Dead spots will occur. Now, if you don't want to rake them, let's say I don't want to rake all those leaves. Well, okay, use a mower. Take your mower out there, and the mower will suck them up and break them up and throw them in the bag, and they'll already be mulched up, and bingo, you already got your mulch pile started. It's really easy. Or use a blower. If you got one of those blowers, they do real good, as long as it's not pouring rain.
Yeah.
And they're kind of, you know, halfway not soaked.
Right.
You can blow them into any pile, and it's kind of fun.
You always give them, donate to the neighbors.
Yeah, the neighbors might like them. I mean, you know, they do. Nowadays, more and more people are becoming conscious of what you can do with yard materials and how they can be reused, rather than just toss them in a pickup truck and you know, haul them to the dump. You know, what's the point in that? Because it costs you whatever it costs you to haul them. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And it seems like it goes up every year.
Oh, it does. It does. Yeah. So, and another thing, you may have noticed that not all trees around here in Douglas County are losing their leaves or coloring up all at the same time, because they're, number one, they're all different types of trees.
Right.
But this is due to several factors. Right. And like young trees that are newly planted, you know, within, say, the last 3 to 5 years, they don't have deep root systems that the older, more mature trees have, like the old oaks or maples and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
An old tree let's say that's been in the ground for, say, at least 20 years. It has a deeper root system, and its roots are several feet deep, and it has more access to soil moisture. And therefore, our drought conditions hasn't had any detrimental effect on it.
Yeah.
Exactly. So the leaves, the tree is still functioning, whereas the younger trees without the deep roots have no access to that soil moisture.
Yeah.
And so they go dormant earlier. And that's why they lose their leaves earlier. So if you run around town, look at some of the younger, smaller trees.
They
and
look like sticks.
Most of them have lost their leaves, whereas the older trees, the big maples, oaks, sweet gum, things like that, they haven't, simply because of they're able to withstand the droughty conditions that we've been experiencing these last 4 or 5 years. So it's not, you know, some people say, well, my tree has already turned and is it dying? And I heard that in September. I said, no, it's not dying, because I had some of my trees in my nursery property that are non-irrigated. They started coloring up the end of July.
Is that right?
Yeah. And they still have their leaves on them, but they started turning colors because there just wasn't any moisture in the soil to grow, and I wasn't watering that section. There's only certain sections I water, you know, the younger stuff that I'm trying to grow. And the other ones, hey, if you live, you live. If you die, you die. Well, you know, I'll just put another one in your place.
Yeah.
You
know, next.
Kind of cutthroat, but, you know, what the heck. But the root systems make all the difference as to, you know, and maybe there's no scientific basis for what I'm saying, and somebody could argue about it, but this is from personal observation over 46 years of observing this stuff. And, you know, in a wet year, shrubs, trees, whatever, they keep their leaves longer because it's wet and it's not as cold, and consequently they're not in the shutdown mode yet.
Yeah.
And whereas, well, now we've had the drought, now we've got the cold, so that's their thing. They shut it down. We're not going to participate in this. We're going to save whatever energy we have.
Game
we're
over.
Save it for next. Yeah, it's game over. We're going to save it for next April or March, you know. So.
Well, shall we take a break?
We shall take a break.
All right.
You're in charge.
Right.
You're the machine guy. I'm not. I'm the talker.
We'll be right back with the talker. On Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Alrighty, we're back. It's 4:38. Telephone line still open for you to ask Mike.
Yeah, and the number is 673-4464. If you have a question about your trees, your shrubs, your lawn,
your whatever.
Whatever's growing and is in the ground or in a pot, hey, I can help you out if you got a problem.
Mike's the man.
Well, I know most of everything.
No. Contrary to what Kyle says.
Yeah, contrary to what Kyle says about me. Oh, gosh. But, and you know, another reason for premature leaf drop is really simple. It's just that some trees just go dormant sooner because of genetics. You know, so what I was saying is not really a blanket statement. It's a statement in general. And usually I'm referring to the maples and the oaks and ashes and the larger trees that grow. A lot of them grow naturally around here, but, you know, we have a lot of different types of trees that we grow in our yards, too. And, you know, as I was telling my buddy here that runs the board about some of my trees at the nursery turned colors at the end of July.
Yeah.
And these are trees that they've been in the ground maybe 10 years. I got kind of an arboretum out back. And I thought, I don't water these trees. They're on their own. If they don't make it, you know, we'll tear them out and put a new one in.
It's all natural.
It's all natural. But as like I say, and that's when it first occurred to me. I looked at the tree. It was about the end of July, last week in July. And I thought, man, that's turning from green to kind of a
yellow.
Yeah, kind of yellowish. And it progressed to kind of orange, red. Now it's really deep red. It hasn't lost too many leaves, but the color is magnificent. Mm. It's really pretty.
Yeah.
But it's been turning colors for, September, October. And this is, a good two and a half months. And then as I look around at my irrigated stuff, I've got irrigated trees that we have there that are in the ground. They're good and green. They're good and growing. They have finally started turning color. But they get sprinkled at least every other day because of where I have some of my plants set. They're kind of a shade barrier, and so they automatically get the overthrow from the sprinkler system that goes, beyond the potted.
The leftover.
Yeah, the leftover stuff. So, it's good. But I've quit watering my field. I used to grow, 3 or 4,000 trees out there every year. But I had to quit watering the last 2 years because I didn't have enough water in my well to accommodate my whole 8 acres.
Right.
That are under cultivation, so I had to make sure that I had enough water for my potted material because the shrubs and trees in pots dry out more quickly.
The ones that really need it.
And they're, because they're above the ground and exposed, so consequently they get the heat from the sides as well as from the top. I've got three rows of Nordam fir and a row of, I think they're some kind of a red maple. I'd have to read the tag. And then I've got a row of Japanese maples out there. And I only have about, there's say 150 trees in that batch, and I probably only got about 4 or 5 dead ones. And I haven't been watered all year. And they're
that's,
young trees.
It's
a good test to see, this is really a tough tree. You can't hurt it. You can plant it and water it a little bit, but you don't have to worry about it because it's a tough tree. It can survive.
Right.
And it's not because I just wanted to put them all to the test. It's just that I only have so much water to work with, and I've got to ration it out to...
Only the strong survive.
Yeah, only the strong survive, and the rest of those weak guys, like the rhodies and the azaleas and the flowers and those kinds of things, they need that water during those hot spells. So,
speaking of your trees, are you going to do Christmas trees this year?
We're talking. We did a few last year, but the Christmas tree industry has gone to the fake trees from China. That's where they come from. I mean, that's who manufactures them, and we buy them like idiots.
We buy them.
But at any rate, that seems to be taking over more and more of the market. So I think last year we sold some live Christmas trees, that are in pots that they can, plant in their yard afterwards. But we also, I don't think we had 20 cut trees. And
is that right?
And we used to sell hundreds.
Yeah.
So, we had nice ones. I mean, they're very nice, shapely trees. Mm-hmm. But there's no market. It's like, everybody's going to the artificial tree.
Kind of a shame.
It is. It really is, because the Christmas tree industry in the state of Oregon is one of our biggest industries, agriculturally speaking. Mm-hmm. And we ship all over the world and have been king of the Christmas trees for so long because of our climate, especially in the Willamette Valley, where it doesn't get as hot. And you can grow... The true firs better up there, like nobles and things like that. Nobles and Shastas and Grands do better in a cooler, little more
climate,
more moist climate. So, but anyway, we'll see. We'll see. We're researching the market right now and see
whether it's going to be worth it.
Is it going to be worth it? Now I read an article not too long ago in the Oregonian that said Christmas tree cut Christmas tree sales should be up this year. Why, I don't know.
Yeah,
and I read the article and I thought, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
So maybe the artificial tree industry is kind of leveling it out or reached its peak. And, you know, because there are some of us traditionalists that really like a real tree.
That's right. Yeah. You just make room for it.
Yeah, it looks good. Leave it alone. Oh, golly. So anyway, don't worry about any of your trees. Don't panic if your trees are leafless. Next spring, they're going to come back, and they're going to grow new leaves.
They're going to be okay.
Yeah, they're going to be okay. And here's another thing. When we get normal rainfall patterns again, where we get 32 and 34 inches of rain a year instead of 24, your trees will grow larger faster. If you bought a tree and it's, you know, say 8 feet tall, mm-hmm. and we get our natural rains and our more natural weather pattern back, you'll see the real difference that just that little bit more moisture will do, that you don't have to mess with it and worry
right.
about it.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now there are some plants out there, of course, that they take the cold weather here very, very well. In fact, a lot of them are in bloom right now, and they are called roses. I stopped at one of my clients' places today, and we take care of, she's got a little business there in Winston, and she's got about 10, 12 rose bushes.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't get a whole lot of care, and I walked in to talk to her about an appointment, and as I was walking in, there's three roses on one side. They were just full of buds, just ready to burst. Yeah. And in the front, where it gets more sun, there was a bunch of them in full bloom.
Already good.
The flowers look great. You know, that cold temp did not destroy the flower itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, on some of these flowering shrubs, the pure coldness would make that bloom kind of wither
and get
spotty and kind of off color. Well, these roses aren't even affected by it, for crying out loud. They're looking great, and they got buds all over the bushes, all over the rose bushes.
Jeez.
And I thought, well, it'll be interesting. I'm going to keep an eye on them because I go by it, you know, two or three times a day. So
right.
It's and just to see how much abuse or mm-hmm. cold they can actually take, you know. And
apparently quite a bit. Remember that old rose bush I was telling you about? Dad always cut it down.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I drove by the old house the other day, and there it was. It was still growing.
Yeah.
Didn't have maybe two roses on it, uh-huh. but it was still there.
Well, is it a climber? Does it climb up? Or?
Yeah, it was climbing over the fence.
Okay,
So it must be at least 50 years old.
Yeah. Well, I've told you the stories about my first house in Roseburg here.
Yeah.
I mean, that rose hedge I had, and there was old roses growing all over the roof. They hadn't pruned them in 10 or 15 years.
Yeah.
And they grew right over the roof. It was a small house, but still, they grew over the
roof.
And
down the other side.
It took us 6 months just to get those off the roof, for crying out loud.
Jeez.
Yeah. And nobody cared for them because the house was vacant, you know, prior to us renting it.
Mm-hmm.
It was vacant for months. You know, the folks had moved down with their kids down to the Sacramento area, and so consequently, it was. And
they had a heyday.
Oh, yeah, and it was just growing, baby. It was just doing. And I also told you about my rose hedge that I hated out front.
Yeah, yeah.
And finally, I got mad at it one day, and I cut it down with a chainsaw right to the ground. I thought, good, that takes care of that sucker.
Wrong.
Yeah, wrong, yeah. Within a month, that little hedge was about 8 inches high, maybe, and beautiful.
And stronger than ever.
It was. Oh, yeah, it was, and I couldn't believe it. And it just grew, and it started blooming. And see, I cut it down in August. It was back up about the end of September. It was fully back, and by mid-October, it was starting to bloom. And it had a jillion little flowers on it, and it bloomed clear until Christmas. And I got pictures of that rose bush blooming when it was snowing.
Jeez.
You know, and it's up off of Douglas Street, up there on Leland Street.
Yeah.
And
those things are tough.
Oh, yeah, they are tough. And how people kill them, I have no idea.
Well, either. Dad sure tried.
Yeah, well, you just plant them and forget them, man, and prune them. But they're in bloom all over town. As you drive around, you'll see them. You know, different rose gardens. The VA hospital has a nice rose garden. I haven't seen it in a while because they got that entrance over there blocked. But you know, other places they're in full bloom. They look really good. You know, no harm from the 23-degree mornings, apparently.
They love it.
Yeah, they do. And and they're full of buds. It's just like there's more buds on them now, and they're healthy looking. They're not just kind of little wimpy little buds. These are healthy, big, as big as your thumb, you know, ready to bloom, ready to pop at any second. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind. And when they start blooming, man, and they will, you know, pretty soon if the sun keeps shining, even though it's cold every day. However, if we happen to get into a normal rainstorm where it rained for, say, or 3 or 4 days and those blooms are out, then they'll be short-lived because the rain kind of almost saturates them and they almost disintegrate and kind of fall apart. So the what you think the rain would help, it helps the shrub, but it doesn't help the bloom. Yeah, and so you just say, okay, this short-lived, big deal. And they get weakened, and the petals fall off, and that's it for them. We got a break.
Okay. And then they come back.
Yeah, they come back. But I've heard nails.
More with Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show here in just a couple of minutes, and your phone call, too, on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, believe it or not, we are back.
Yeah, and I've been talking about roses and how tough they are and how cold doesn't hurt them. Nothing hurts them. Heat doesn't hurt them. The only thing that hurts them is if you drive a four-wheel drive over them and, you know, kind of break some things. But it'll come back after that anyway.
Yeah, it'll come back.
It doesn't matter. But here's the cool thing. You know, once it loses all, the rose bush loses all its leaves, I mean, you can prune these lightly anytime, but if you're going to do some major pruning, let it go dormant, you know, let it lose its leaves, and then it's time for pruning. And, you know, prune the rose to, say, 2 to 3 feet low. Cut off any excess canes that are coming. You know, if from the root, they might have 7 or 8 main canes coming straight up. You don't need 7 or 8, but, you know, if you cut a few of those out, give it some room. Give it some room for air to circulate, maybe to sun to penetrate. Spread out the canes so that they're not competing right side by side with one another. They'll do a whole lot better. And when you do cut those canes out, cut them all the way down to the ground, and then leave, like I say, 3, 5, 7. You know, it depends on the age of the rose, the size of the rose, and they'll look good. And look for the ones that are the strongest, the most healthy. Keep those, and then the ones that are a little bit, it doesn't look so hot, well, that's the one to take out. And then, you know, after you've done that, fertilize lightly with a rose food. And then, again, in March, give them a little bit heavier dose of rose food, and they'll do very, very well. And then anytime you've got the small rose canes, you know, there's sometimes all these little tiny branches start growing. You can cut those out. They're not going to amount to anything for a couple of years. So you can cut that out. And so the energy of the plant goes to that which is already established, and you get better blooms. It's like pruning. When I talk about pruning, the more you prune, the better the fruit, the more productive the tree is. Well, the same thing with the rose bushes. The more you prune, the better the rose, the longer they last, the more they bloom. So if that's, and I know to some folks, they say, well, that sounds backwards. If you keep cutting on it, you're going to kill it. No, you cannot kill it that way, not unless you really damage it. But like I said, I've cut them all the way to the ground because I was mad at them, and they grew back twice as nice. So try it, you know, pick one out and try it, and then you'll see that I'm right there. But, you know, any time of year you want to cut the little canes out, the little branchlets, if you will, that's good. It's not going to hurt the rose. They're okay. They're just kind of ancillary extra branches that you don't need. The all important issue is to have good quality pruning tools. You know, that's oftentimes where people just get some rusty pruners or something, go out there, well, you do more damage, you don't get a good clean cut, that kind of thing. So spend a few bucks on some good loppers. And the job gets done quickly and correctly and cleanly. The more clean it is, the easier it is to heal. And you'll need some long-handled loppers so you can reach into some of the larger plants. And it's better if your hands are not near all those thorns. You know, when they stick you, they hurt. And then some hand pruners for some close work. And if you have to use a saw, then those roses are too big. You shouldn't have a rose branch or a cane that's so big that you have to have use a saw to prune it. And also keep your pruning tools sharp and clean. Sharpen them with like a small flat file before each pruning session to ensure a good clean cut. It'll save you time, effort, and energy. And like I said earlier, the clean cuts, they heal quickly, not just on roses, but on anything you prune. And jagged, sloppy cuts get diseases or fungus very quickly. You know, bugs will penetrate them. And when you're finished, you know, your pruning job, clean your tools off, wipe them down, get the mud off, get the sap off and all that, and then give them some 3-in-1 oil on the moving parts and, you know, just lightly, and they're good to go. And, you know, they're fairly expensive, so the better you treat them, the longer you're going to have them. And it's
they're a lot easier to clean when they're fresh.
Yeah, they are, really. Now, small mini roses, they take less pruning. And, you know, I'm talking about the hybrid teas that were in the earlier segment. But the smaller ones, the mini roses, they take less pruning. They bloom a whole lot more, but the flowers are smaller. They grow smaller. But they're very, very tougher, very tough. And a lot of times we don't even bother to prune some of ours. We just see how big they can actually get. But we prune most of them every year because we take more cuttings, and so we produce more mini roses, and I use a lot of them in landscaping. And, you know, they're in shape, they're fuller, they're more rounded. They're not like a hybrid tea rose. It has a long cane, and these are our short branch types. Mm-hmm. Then climbing roses are more of a challenge to prune them at all. You can prune them lightly.
They have a mind of their
own. Oh, they do. Climbing roses, I'm not a fan of climbing roses at all. But I've seen some that were really well taken care of. You know, people have an archway entry into the backyard or something like that, or into the front entry of their home, and they have a trellis, and they planted a climbing rose on either side there, and they've got some room to do it. And as long as you keep them pruned, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It looks good. It's when you let it go and those wild branches start growing everywhere, and as you walk by, they catch you. They grab your clothes or grab your arm, and pretty soon you got a wounded arm. Yeah,
they'd only do that once today.
Well, yeah, but you got to maintain. But it's amazing. So roses are good. Roses are red and they're good, and they're doing well in Roseburg.
Absolutely.
So I'll see you next week, and thank you for listening.
Post election, no less.
Post election, eh? Yeah. All right, that ought to be a real riotous time.
The afternoon report is next, right here on the News Radio 1240 KQEN.